Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We come to minister unto you. As we go into your word, Father, I strip myself of every confidence that my yet have, my own knowledge, ability to share your word. I put up my confidence in your mercies, Father, in the grace of Lord Jesus, and the help of Holy Spirit, to use this preparation, to use the knowledge, to use all you have given unto me, to multiply the same, that the body of Christ be edified today in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask for fresh grace and mercy, that as the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of Holy Spirit. Do an internal work in our heart and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds by enlightening revelation that comes from the word, and our emotions for that control by the power of the Spirit. As we go to your word today, I mean to speak today as an oracle of God, to redeem the time, to bring out of a treasure of world things new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom, that yokes in our lives are broken, needs to be met. Glory be God in the name of Jesus Christ, and blessings unto us, the sons of men, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You are in the book of 2 Timothy, and last time we were in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 8. And 2 Timothy chapter 8, the King James Version says that, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Please put in the Amplified Bible. I just read from the King James Version. That was what Paul was telling his spiritual son Timothy. That you know, you should not be ashamed. And we spent quite some time on this aspect of being ashamed and why people are ashamed of the gospel. You see, if you're in the natural, if you have a parents that are very rich or popular, you'll not be ashamed to say, I'm the son of so and so and so. But you see, in Christianity, we also should not be ashamed of our God. But you find that we Christians at times, we are ashamed of testifying or identifying with the purpose of Christ. Why? We talked about it last time. I'll just do a brief recap from verse 8 to explain it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and Amplified. Let's read together. Do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord. Say to testify to and for our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake. But with me, take your word, share in the suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you, and do it in the power of God. So Paul tells Timothy, and by extension, all of us here present today, he said, don't be ashamed, my son Timothy. Why? He said, because this gospel I'm preaching will expose you to what? Towards suffering. The gospel we are preaching, the gospel we are supposed to preach and testify, I follow, is not a watered-down gospel as is being preached today. That promises a crown without a cross. I follow, that promises God's blessings without conditions. That is Babylon. I follow me. So let's look at it quite carefully. It says that Timothy should not be ashamed of two sets of people, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and secondly, him is prisoner. Paul here represents true leaders that are preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have two sets of people we must not be ashamed of. I put it here just to do a brief cap. Say the testimony of Jesus Christ that speaks about the word of God. Are you following me? And then witness, which means witnessing and identifying with Christ and the purpose of Christianity. Say witnessing and identifying with Christ and the purpose of Christianity. See, there is a purpose in our Christian lives. It's not just get born again and go to heaven. There is a purpose. Are you following me? And then secondly, true spiritual leaders that preach and teach the truth of the word of God about the full gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of Christianity. So you have in the body of Christ today teachers that don't teach the true gospel. They omit, as we have been taught, the weightier matters of the law. So two sets of people must not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his prisoner, Paul here, or two leaders that preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why are people ashamed? I spoke about last time. It is because the preaching of the true gospel will attract persecution and affliction. That's the suffering there. You see, we are not called to suffer lacking sufficiency, sickness or disease. But see, there is no way that you are going to stand for the truth of the gospel that it will not attract suffering in terms of persecution and affliction. Let's now open our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. It's very clear. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Are we there? 2 Timothy, please, where it says that, you know, all that will live godly shall in this life shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Let's pray so we can all read. Say, yea, say, yea. And all is not some. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what shall suffer? Persecution. But where most of us read today, we think that it says that are those that live in Bono, or those that live in Jos, or those that are persecuting them will suffer. No. It is everybody, no matter where you are. It is going to come down one time or the other if you are going to live godly. Say all, without exception, that will all live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. That word suffer, that word shall in the Greek, it means it is binding. You can't escape it unless you are not going to live godly in Christ. It's the same word that says that, you know, that in the book of Acts, that says that you are confirming it so that through much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom. So it is binding, it is certain. We can't escape it. And of course, we know the reason why. It is Satan that is behind it. And I will continue, you understand what I'm trying to say. So all that will live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Mark chapter 4, verse 17. We talked about it last time. Mark chapter 4, verse 17. And we there was talking about the parable of the sower. And he said something. He said that, and he was talking about the particular seed. Let me give a background. He said, when the sower sowed the word, he said that some fell by the wayside, the birds of the earth picked them up. And outside, some fell on stony ground. And you see, the heart here that he's talking about, all the different grounds are speaking about different hearts of Christians. Are you following me? When you get born again, it removes the heart of stone and gives you the heart of flesh. So it says, some fell on stony ground. Who went? Say, who went? They have heard the word. Immediately receive it with gladness. So happy. Next verse. But see what happens. Next verse. And have no what? Roots. Say, have no what? Roots. Say, have no what? Root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction, let's get it, when affliction or persecution arises, what, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So affliction or persecution, they're not the same thing, is going to arise for the word's sake. If it does not arise for the word's sake, that means somewhere in line we are not walking in the word as we ought to. Because light will always expose darkness. So he said, because of affliction and persecution, or persecution, they were offended. Now let's look at it. Let's say the word rooted. Say rooted. You see, the end purpose of our being rooted and grounded in love, I want you to link the scripture with what is in Ephesians chapter 3. Say that you'll be rooted and grounded in love. That you'll be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So Satan begins to attack this heart at this level. Why? The Bible says because they did not have root in themselves. Root where? Rooted and grounded in love. So when you're not rooted and grounded in love, there is a tendency to be offended. So once you are offended, you cannot get to the end of being filled with the fullness of God. So that is the main reason why Satan kicks up persecution and affliction. That's why I say, they that will live godly in this life shall suffer persecution. Praise the Lord. So what is persecution? I read the other time as Pastor defined it and gave it to us. Persecution is rejection and physical attack from men to pressure us or hinder our faith and to take us away from God. Persecution, I repeat, is rejection and physical attack from men. And it has one purpose. It is to hinder our faith and to take us away from God. What does it do? It tests our loyalty to God and our loyalty to those that are serving God, true spiritual leaders. That's why Paul said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and me his prisoner. So that's why Satan brings persecution. That was why John Mark ran away. After they beat Paul and did something, I can't handle this. Or Demas. He said, that's forsaking me. So, persecution does what? It tests our loyalty to God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and to true spiritual leaders that are preaching the true purpose of Christianity. It's going to test it. It's going to come. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. The second thing I want us to see here is this. Is also that affliction. Affliction is different from persecution. Affliction is bodily and circumstantial attacks orchestrated by Satan remotely without any consciously willing human agents. You see, Satan is the one behind everything. Just that affliction, persecution, you can see men. Like when they took Jesus Christ, when he preached his message in the synagogue, and he said, "The Spirit of God is upon me," and they said, "Is it not the son of Joseph?" And they took him to the brow of the hill, and when they are going to push him down, the Bible says there was a false spirit of love around him, and then he walked in between them. Can you imagine? It was somebody else. It was me. God forbid. We are all growing. I wouldn't just walk back amongst them. I would say, "Everybody now, jump." That's why we have to be rooted and grounded in the Lord. He gave them another chance. Are you following me? He gave them another chance. So what affliction is orchestrated by Satan, not necessarily to any man. It comes against our body and our circumstances. And that's one major aim. It is to kill us physically or destroy us. That is the reason behind affliction and persecution. I mentioned the other time from the book of, I think Psalm 107, that also we human beings can be the source of our own affliction. He says, fools are afflicted, when they don't do the word of God. He said, but when they cry unto the Lord, the Lord has mercy upon them, and he sends his word, and he heals them, and delivers them for their destruction. Because at times, you see, out of ignorance, or when we are just, when you just do things that we shouldn't do, you expose yourself, like they say now, people should not go to China, at your time, and you decide to go. You expose yourself to unnecessary affliction and sickness. Just give us an example. Are you following me? So, but what I want us to see here, two things. We must not be ashamed of the sufferings of Christ that comes through affliction and persecution. And then we must not be ashamed of those that God has raised up to preach this gospel about the purpose of Christ when they go through affliction or persecution. Praise the Lord. It's very, very important for us to know that. But what I want us to say today, that's how far we're able to go last time, and it's God that allows it. It's God allows it to come. Why? Because the same Bible says that God will never allow us to be tempted about what we are able to bear. But with the temptation, it will make a way of escape that we're able to bear it. It's like I said the other time, there's no way you are going to be trained or go to classes and then you will not do an examination. You have to do an examination. When you pass the examination, that will make your examiners or your teachers or your parents happy. Are you following me? So it is not God's purpose for the affliction to overcome us or the persecution to overcome us, but he wants us to overcome all these afflictions. Praise the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 19. It explains it very clearly. So we don't think that, okay, this is my end. It's not your end. It's just a test and an examination we are going to pass. Let's begin. Many, not some, are the what? Afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord does what? Deliver them out of them. Some, out of them. God is going to deliver you and I from every persecution, affliction, and affliction that comes forth in this end time. Praise the Lord. It's very, very important to know that God is going to deliver. That's why in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8, he said that, "Be thou partaker of the afflictions in Christ Jesus by the power of God." Put it back in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Say, "Be thou partaker of the afflictions of Christ," says, "by the power of God." What it means here is, it's not that you should take it and just stay under it. No. He said, that is what he says, that Timothy, you can overcome the afflictions and the sufferings that come by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start off today from here today. So I want us to see how to overcome persecution and affliction by the power. But it's very simple. How do you overcome persecution and affliction? The Bible says in the book of James, said James chapter 5 verse 13. He said, "Is any afflicted amongst you, let him what? Pray." Let's put this so we can see. God has given us exactly what to do when persecutions or afflictions come. And we just say, is any among you afflicted? Let him what? Pray. So he says that when affliction comes and persecution comes, that it will come for the word's sake. He said, pray. He says, pray. So I want us to look at the example of Paul in the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 16, which one, verse 25. We know the story. When they were in Philippi, it was God that sent them to Philippi to go and preach. Where they saw a vision, a night vision, Paul saw a vision, said, "Come out to Macedonia and help us." And they went there, and the story, he cast out the devil from the girl that had the spirit of divination. Are you following me? And when he cast out the devil, they went to report, and they locked them up in prison after beating them. Terribly beating them. But they were not griping and complaining and saying, "God, I don't know why you allowed this to happen to me. When I was not preaching about you, things, people are not disturbing me. But now look at what has happened to me." He didn't complain. But what did they do at midnight? Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Let's see that. "And at midnight," that could be literal and also symbolic. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Notice that prayer came before praise. It must always come before praise. Next verse. And what? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And the keeper of the prison, that guy that beat them and locked them up, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Next verse. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. I follow me." So what happened when they beat them and locked them up? Instead of griping and complaining, they went on their knees and they prayed. And I can tell that it is not the prayer that we pray at times. It's not a Mickey Mouse praying. How many of you have gone through a difficult time before? You notice that when you pray in difficult times, it's different from when you are just praying. Sha? They must have been baptized and the prisoners heard them. They were not quiet about it. People in the other prison, they heard them. They must have been praying with tongues and with groanings, with travail. And that brought God's attention, and God came down, shook the whole place, and set them free. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a story about, say, look at Paul again concerning affliction. Acts chapter 16. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, from verse 7 to 10. This is what Paul was being afflicted by a demon that kept on disturbing him. You know the story. And he went back to God and said, "God, please take this thing away from me." He said, affliction comes to break our pride. Are you following me? So this is the same thing. Paul had so much revelation. And he was like, God said that it was a thorn in the flesh was given to him, a messenger of Satan. Are we there? It says, "Unless I should be exalted," let's go there. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given unto me." A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Well, what was it to buffet me? "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Next verse. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Next verse. And he said unto me, "My grace is what? Sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly thereof will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Next verse. Therefore, I take pleasure in what? Infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. That's what the gospel brings. But when I am weak, then I am strong. It thought just occurred to me, I'll mention it. You see here, the Lord Jesus Christ did not take away the problem. He said, "No, Paul, what you need is to increase in humility so that more grace can flow that will bring life. Then you not overcome that affliction." It's the same thing that the Father allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to go through in Gethsemane. He to pray twice. "Yeah, I beloved, this person I besought the Lord twice." Master to pray 3 hours. "Say, Father, if you be willing, let this cup be taken from me." The Father kept quiet. What was he saying? "My son, my grace and my mercy is sufficient for you." So he went back to pray the first time, the second time, the third time, and he overcome it. So there are going to be times in our lives, seasons in which God will put us in a very straight position. Straight, not straight, and straight in tight position. And he expects you to humble yourself, to receive more grace, sufficient grace and mercy, so you can pray through and overcome at the end of the day. Praise the Lord. So that's very, very important. So I said, the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord divided them for them all. But as I was meditating and preparing yesterday to today, God now began to show me the important prophetic significance of affliction and persecution. I already mentioned that Satan does it, and it's to get us offended. But let's all look at it from the book of Matthew. Before we go there, I put in my notes, Satan's purpose for bringing persecution and affliction is to cause us to be offended, read earlier, and to give up on the hope of our calling and not to bring fruit unto perfection. If you like that same story in the book of Luke, talking about the parable of the sower, he said that some did not bring forth fruit to perfection. So what is Satan trying to do in this end time? As Pastor has taught us, look at the end time calendar, book of Matthew, you know, chapter 24, verse 8, we read. When he said, these are the beginnings of sorrows. When he starts seeing earthquakes and different things, the hearts of men failing them. He now began to say something that will begin to happen in the end time. Speaking specifically about end time church. Are we there? So as we say, all these things are what the beginning of sorrows. All the things he mentioned earlier. Next verse. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. They will not kill you in Jesus' name. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Next verse. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Like Pastor has taught us, when this glory we are expecting that is imminent begins to manifest, initially they were all like us. Who doesn't want to be healed? Who doesn't want to be prosperous? Who doesn't want to be delivered? But see, when we start standing for righteousness, verses, when thy judgments are in the earth, then the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness. And start speaking to governments. Are you following me? He start correcting them. No, you cannot do that. With the power of the Spirit without measure, then they will gang up against the perfect church. And that's why he said that, you know, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and tormented. And that some of you will betray one another. I dare say when I was meditating, you know, this is what the body of Christ is facing now. Once the glory manifests and begins to demonstrate the signs and wonders, the ability of mind of Christ and the power of Christ, I follow him. Initially, they will be okay. They will come in their numbers. But once, after some time, persecution will arise. Affliction will arise. Why? Because we're making a demand for righteousness. Begin to say things, speak to kings, those in authority. Are you following me? And then some of them, God will discipline. No apology when he spoke to Elimas the sorcerer. He said, you were blind for a season. Everybody saw it. So any the Satan will kick off persecution and affliction against the church. But you see, because of the spirit without measure, which is the most important thing we need to get in this end time, we are going to be delivered from them. Praise the Lord. So I want us to see that. Back up to the verse 11. Back up to verse 11. And many... No. Go up. Please go up to verse 9. So then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, for my character. Right now the nations don't hate us. As far as they are concerned, we're a nuisance. They are tolerating us because there's no difference between the Christian and the unbeliever. But see, when we start standing for righteousness, manifesting the character and the love of God and the power of God, it will expose the other. The Bible says that this is the condemnation that is coming. The light is coming to the world. But men love darkness and light because their deeds were evil. So that is what is going to happen. They will now begin to deliver and seek people to be afflicted and then say, we shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So that's not the end of the story. I don't have time to get there. If you read down the line, which shows that we are going to overcome the affliction of Christ. He said, then this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout all the earth and for a witness, and then the end shall come. That end there is the rapture. Next verse in verse 10. I want to show us something more. Say, and this kingdom... No. Hold on. And then shall many be offended. So you can link that with the Mark chapter 4. Of those that were not rooted and guarded in love. That says that when affliction and persecution arose for the work's sake, they were offended. And now says here, he's talking to the body of Christ, not necessarily those that are outside. So, and shall betray one another. And they shall hate one another. Talking about the brother, where is we are talking about, you know, serving one another in love. You see, Christians, who are these Christians that betray one another and that hate one another? They are Christians that don't take time now to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God. So what are they going to do? They're going to be very envious of those that manifest the glory. So that envy, that's why, you know, Bible says, what's the guy's name? Pilate. He said he knew that they had delivered Jesus Christ because of envy. Why? They were both Jews now. But because Jesus Christ showed them up, they could quote scripture from the beginning to the end, but it did not manifest the glory. So they started persecuting Jesus Christ. For why? He said, because he called himself Son of God. Because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. The same thing is going to happen in this end time, in the body of Christ. It is going to happen, brother. You can't escape it. But see, the way of escape is, before it happens, you have to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. So once you are rooted and grounded in the love of God, you get a broad measure of a broad anointing, and from which will now be a shield for you to overcome the persecution. The master said something. He said, watch it therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that are coming. They are going to come. But the way of escape is to perfect the love of God, inherit the spirit without measure. It is that spirit without measure that will help you to escape all these things so you can stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. So I put in my note, I said, the glory now becomes our defense. That is why the manifestation of the glory is so important now. Why are they able to kill Christians anyhow? Now, because there is no glory. Why? Because they have not been taught to perfect the love of God. Now you understand why the Bible says, after the glory, will he send me to the nations. Only after, not before. Because the glory now becomes your defense. Are you following me? How can they just be killing Christians anyhow? Are you following me? But when the glory manifests, the Bible says in the book of Revelations, it says that when the glory filled the temple of God, nobody could enter. You have snippets here and there. When they were going to arrest Elisha, the man that carried the double portion, they could not. He said, smite them with blindness. But he walked in love and fed them. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 to 5 in the Amplified Bible. Okay, fine. Leave it there. It's okay. See? In that day, which is the branch of the Lord. Who is the branch of the Lord? Be the body of Christ. But I am divine, you are the branches. Shall be beautiful and glorious. He's talking about the perfect church in Ephesians chapter 5. So that they may present unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Are you following me? Said, shall be glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be excellent and lovely to those of Israel who have escaped. Next verse. Can link that to Luke chapter 21. Next verse. Have you there? Say, and who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem and for eternal life. Next verse. Say, after the Lord has washed what? Away the moral filth of the daughters of Zion. Pride, vanity, haughtiness, and has purged the bloodstains of Jerusalem from the midst of it by the spirit and the blast of judgment, and by the spirit and the blast of burning and sifting. You see, don't be afraid when you see the spirit of judgment, the fire. You see, you can't purge spiritual things with natural things. So when you say fire, it's not talking about physical fire. It's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. After, when you cleanse, you refine as fire. And the main made very, very simple for you. It's very simple. It's the blood, the water, and the spirit. That what the Bible says that therefore, having this promise, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all fitness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Next verse. What does it say? After I has done that, and glorious church begins to manifest. And the Lord, let's read together. And the Lord will create over the whole site, over every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and over our assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day. Let's together, and the shine of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory, say, all the glory shall be a canopy, a defense of divine love and protection. So you see, God has already made plans for us to overcome persecution, affliction in this end time. You see, we are not going to go through the great tribulation, but the body of Christ is going to go through the great persecution. But we are going to overcome. And how are we going to overcome? The glory shall be our defense. They'll say, go and arrest them. The people will get there and say, never man speak like this before. Are you following me? People will come and arrest you. Look at the growth process in the Lord. I was thinking about it. Look at the growth process in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time when he preached his first message, they pushed him to the brow of the hill. They were going to push him down. Are you following me? But he just walked through the midst of them. At the end of his ministry, when they came to arrest him, they said, who is he? He said, I'm he. They all fell down. Both. They all fell down. The same Jesus Christ. That is what we should experience in this end time. When the glory manifests, it will be upon, put it in King James. Say, upon every dwelling place, in your home, in your office. You now become a covering for those under you. So I used to listen to Brasham back in those days. He shared a testimony about a time that apartments were burning. And so when he got to a particular Christian space, the light jumped over and went to the other side. That is a sign and it's a wonder. That is the kind of thing that God wants to do in this end time. To make us, you know, to shield us, to defend us. He says, surely they shall gather, but not by me. But what shall gather against you, what? Fall for your sakes. Praise the Lord. That is very important for us to know. And let's go on to verse 9, which is a very important aspect that we're going to talk about today. This verse talks about the purpose of Christianity. I'm trusting Lord for grace to talk about this as I ought to. Verse 9, what does it say? Who has saved us? Let's together. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. But is now, let's go. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Back up to verse 9 as we read. Paul now began to talk to his son Timothy. You know, the last thing he spoke about in verse 8, he said, be partakers of the afflictions of Christ through the power of God. Let's overcome these afflictions through the power of God. See, that same power, now began to talk about it. He says that, please put it in verse 9. Say, who had saved us? Say, who had saved us? That means who saved you? It is God that saved you. And did what? Called us. With what? An holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So let's look at it closely as we with some scriptures. He said, God has saved us. If you look at that scripture on the surface, you will think that maybe God desires to save some and doesn't desire to save other people. That okay, because you are born again, God before time began, I decided to save you. And those that die and go to hell, you know, because this salvation is talking about here, it's talking about being born again. Because at that time they were not perfect. So what I say, who has saved us and called us? But he put everything in heart means past tense. That is, before time began, God had purposed in his heart that a set of people, those that qualify, that fulfill the conditions, will be born again, which is saved. Are you following me? And then they will now fulfill their purpose and destiny, which is their calling. And it is open to everybody. So let me put some scriptures behind this as we continue. Like I said earlier on, I said, God has called every human being. Everyone on the face of the earth today has been called by God. Because the calling we are talking about has been before time began. God is not the kind of person that begins to do things at the last minute. He had purpose in his heart that everyone, he wants everybody to be conformed to the image of Christ and to carry the glory. You know why? It's very simple. If Adam had not sinned in the Garden of Eden, everybody to today, and I will born tomorrow, will be carrying the glory. Do you understand my point of my reasoning? If Adam did not fall, God said, for all in Adam have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So if all did not sin in Adam, will not come short of the glory of God. So it's all. So we'll have been gathered here today, everybody manifesting and carrying the glory of God. But we know what happened. And God made a plan. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 34. What does it say? He says that Apostle Peter was speaking. I want to explain this so we can understand that this thing is for everybody. Whosoever will should come and drink of the water of life freely. No, the Bible says that, and when talking about Peter was telling them in the house of Cornelius, he said that when he got baptized the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit, he said, for I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. 34, not 4, 10, 34. Paul was saying, Peter said, and then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That means he had a mindset before that was only for a select few, the Jews. I follow me. The Bible says, book of Psalms, say God is good to all, and his tender mercies are about all his works. So he gives his rain to the good and to the wicked. So this thing we are talking about is not for a select few, it's for every human being. But you see, the problem is this: not every human being will fulfill that call because it is based on the degree of your honesty and the humility of heart. Bible says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. John chapter 1, verse 9 talks about the true light that lighteneth every man that enter. No, put it there. Time to put some background so we can understand. That's for everybody. Talking about Lord Jesus when he appeared. That was what? The true light which lighteneth every what? Man that cometh into the world. So every person, wherever you are born, the light comes into you. Are you following me? The response to the light will not determine whether you fulfill that call or you obey that call or not. So let's look at it closely. Help me, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Before I go there, what is it? Let's look at salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Salvation said, who hath saved us? What salvation is talking about? It is the aspect of getting born again in that particular place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says that. 1 Peter 1:23, when it says that we are saved by the incorruptible seed of the word of God, says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. By what? The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That is how you and I get born again. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It's important if you're here today and you're not born again, let's read the scripture together. What does it say? Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Period. Only Jesus can save. If you understand the purpose of Christianity, but by one man we all became sinners, and through one man also we become righteous. So it is only Christ that can save. Nobody else can save. I leave it to your own imagination. Put anybody's name there. Put any religion there. You cannot be saved by any other religion. Praise the Lord. So I put it there as Pastor Smith. I said, God does not predestinate individuals, but predestinates events and purposes with conditions. God does not predestinate individuals, but predestinates events and conditions, events and his purposes with conditions tied to it. So individuals that fulfill the conditions become predestinated to those events and purposes. It's very important. Let me give a natural example that I'm going to understand. The Nigerian government can decide today that every child that goes to any university in Nigeria who makes a first class will give him automatic employment, right or wrong. They can decide. But you see, those that qualify are those that fulfill the condition, which is make a first class. So they didn't say that, okay, we are going to use quota, even though that's what they do. Quota, no, no. It's the same thing with God. God had purpose before time began. That is going to have what? A company of sons who are going to carry the same glory that Adam carried, which I explained to you. That is, if Adam had not sinned, we would have all been carrying the glory even by birth. Are you following me? It's very simple. So that is it. So, but because of the human will and human stubbornness, when God shines his light to the hearts of men, they deny the truth. They don't accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. So they don't get born again. That will not be a lot in Jesus' name. So what I say, God calls all men. Acts chapter 10. We already read that. Acts chapter 10 verse 32. God calls all men, not some. Are you following me? And I put a scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 25 verse 41. No, you think that when you talk about people going to hell, you think that, okay, maybe God has said, okay, these ones will go to hell. These ones, no. It is the choices that people make. It's God, the Bible says that God did not create hell for man. It's very important to understand. Anybody that goes to hell today, like the rich man, I follow me, it was the choices of the heart that led him there. What does it say? Matthew chapter 20. Help me, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41. Please put it there. Matthew 25 verse 41. It says that when he was talking about the judgment of the nations, and then he now said, God puts some to his right, the goats on his left. He said, then, shall he say also to them on the left? Will not be on the left side in Jesus' name. Say, depart from me, ye cast into everlasting fire. But this one does see, prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. So it is not God's will that anybody should perish. But when people make wrong choices, they end up where God has prepared for the devil and his angels. Praise the Lord. So let's look at this issue of the calling, which is very important. So what is our calling in Christ? We are called to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not called to be a doctor. You are not called to be a pastor. You are not called to be anything in the natural. God has called you and I to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we'll read. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. Let's read together. You know, Paul was talking. He had spoken about the creation, waiting for the manifestation of the glory of God, the sons of God. He now began to talk. You know, after talking about travail, I don't want to go there because of time. But he says, God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. And we know. We know there is the word you know beyond the shadow of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To be what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be what? The firstborn among many brethren, not some brethren. If you have the firstborn, you have the secondborn, you have the thirdborn, you have the fourthborn, you have the whatever million born among the brethren. Next verse. Moreover, When we did predestination, I've already explained the aspect of predestination to you. God does not predestinate events, but predestinate events and purposes. That purpose is to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So when you align your will with that, you become predestinated. Are you following me? Ahem. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Say called, justified, glorified. Say called, justified, glorified. When did he call you and I? Before time began. But you respond to that call when you get born again. I begin to follow after. Then you see, when you get born again, that is when you become justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Then that is not the end point. You are not to sit down and wait till the day the rapture occurs that you can go to heaven. Or the day you die and go to heaven. No. He said, tell me that he called. He also justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And them who also justified, them he also glorified in time, not in heaven. That is what is before the church today. That is my destiny. That is your destiny. That is the purpose of Christianity. Any other thing apart from this is the spirit of the Antichrist. That is why you see earlier on that I read that Satan is going to raise up persecution and affliction, that the word sown will not bring forth fruit to perfection. And those that will fall away and be offended are those that are now rooted and grounded in love. So the issue now is this, to perfect the love of God to be glorified. Next verse. Next verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Pack all the demons together. The only reason why things will work together for your good, both good and bad, God does not bring the bad things. Satan brings the bad things. It's because you have chosen to follow after purpose and destiny. Then God will walk backwards to make sure that you obtain that purpose. But if you settle for Zohar, then there's nothing God can do. That's why we throw the tree in the garden. And he said, look, why cumbereth it all these years in the third year? Say, let us cut it down. Say, give it one more year so it can bring forth fruit, which is perfection of the love of God. God will cause all things. You can go and write it down. To work together for your good. You follow after purpose and destiny. I don't care if you are facing death. Once God sees that this one has made up his mind to follow my purpose and my destiny, which is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and to manifest glory in this day, which is glory, a double glory of power and of wisdom, it will cause everything to work together for good. It will bring to a place that you disgrace Satan. You become like someone like the Apostle John. He told him, threw him into oil, the oil stopped boiling, boiling. Threw him to lions, the lion could not touch him. They banished him to the Isle of Patmos. And like Pastor was sharing with us the other day, that I actually left the Isle of Patmos. God causes all things. That God causes all things to work together for good. For them that what? Love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, there are many gifts, but one calling. Say many gifts, but one calling. You see, you can have many gifts and many talents. But all of us have one calling. Romans chapter 11 verse 29. Thank you, Jesus. Bible causes one, many gifts, one calling. Are we there? It says, for the gifts, say gifts, plural, and the calling, singular, of God are without repentance. That is, God is not going to change his mind in this end time and say, because nobody has attained unto it yet, okay, let me lower the standard. Never. His calling is without repentance. And I said, the calling is to be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's one hope of that calling. That's what the Bible's book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Say, there's one calling, one hope of the calling. That is, the calling comes with a hope. I'm not just going to get conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and sit down. You are going to, he's going to give you a reward. Getting born again is a gift, like the thief on the cross. But when you attain unto the perfection and fullness of Christ, you will carry the glory. That is the reward. Praise the Lord. What is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 4? Say, there is one body and one spirit. Even as you are all called in what? One hope of your calling. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Put it in verse 26. Colossians 1 26. Paul was saying, say, even the mystery which have been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Next verse. To whom God, said to whom God, will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the hope of our calling. Next verse. Next verse says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man. Notice it was saying every man. He didn't say Christians. Every man that hears God, perfect in Christ Jesus. Every man. That's God's design. He's not willing that any should perish. Not that he's willing that any of his children will not carry his glory. How many of us can have 6, 5, or 7 children? And you call them one day. As far as I'm concerned, only you forced you go to school. All the others go and farm or just stay back out. Is it possible? No, it's not possible. So why? Well, say if he then evil. Know how to give good things. I want you, my Heavenly Father. So why would God determine that, okay, some people will be this, some people? No. He wants every man perfect in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. We're talking about the hope of our calling. The calling is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The hope is to carry the glory. It's the same glory of Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he had called you by what? Our gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. Oh. That is our destiny. And that is what is before the body of Christ today. Even many don't know. And are waiting for the rapture to occur. No, there can be no rapture except as a manifestation of glory. The Bible says that the whole creation is waiting in traveling in pain for the manifestation of the sons of God. We need to understand. John chapter 17 verse 22. You may say, okay, maybe this glory is when we go to glory land the devil. No! It is in this life, in this nasty now. That's why the book of Romans, he says something. He said, who have called you and justified you and glorified you in time. Because the degree of the glory you carry here will determine your eternal reward. Someone says, one star different from another star in glory. Are you following me? John chapter 17 verse 22. And the glory, the master was talking to his father, I was praying for the body of Christ. And the glory, which you saw in 2 Thessalonians, you know, we just read, which thou gavest me, I have what? Given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. Next verse. And I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved them. The question I want to ask is this. Okay, next verse. Next verse. Father, without that also, they that also that has given me, be with me where I am also. And that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Put it back in verse 23. I want us to say something. It says that this glory that you have given me, I have given them. Past tense. And it says what? It says that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know. Is the world in heaven? So, why would they know? He's here. This is the day of distinction. Day of manifestation of His glory. One more scripture. Book of... let's look at... we often quote it in Isaiah chapter 60. So the world may know. There's no worldly person in heaven. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. I was sharing on Wednesday. It says, arise! Shine! For the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Next verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will not arise upon thee, and his word glory shall be seen upon thee. Next verse. And the Gentiles shall come to the light on this earth, not in heaven. When they see that glory manifest, when you begin to turn water to wine or manifest the ability of the mind of Christ, they will come. Paul said, as men will come, strong men in chains before you. They said, behold, the Lord is indeed. Surely, Lord is. That is what is before the body of Christ today. That is why it behoves us to take what we have learned seriously. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You see, when you talk about confirmed the image of Jesus Christ, you know, being perfected and all these things, you know, don't let it throw you off balance. Pastor has made it very simple. Just perfect the love of God. It is the love that will bring down the glory. It takes love of God to carry the glory of God. Say, it takes love of God to carry the glory of God. Very simple. So don't let it throw you off. Once you can perfect the love of God in your life, are you following me? You will carry the glory. Albeit firstly, the bold anointing. Then when you go to the full stature of Jesus Christ, then you can now inherit your home. Praise the Lord. It's very, very important. That's the importance of covering again. So we can partake of this glory that is very, very imminent. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul says something. What is God? As I begin to round up, let's read Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. I'll put some scriptures behind this. As I begin to round up.
Paul was talking.
You see, initially Paul didn't get this revelation. When he got revelation, he knew there was nothing that was worth it again. So I pray that God will open our eyes.
He said, but what things were gained to me? Those are counted lost for what?
For Christ. Brethren, I'm not saying we should excel in our secular work. You see, but the star that is going to shine in heaven is not because of the number of degrees you have or because you are a professor. But the day you die or you escape through the rapture, they're not going to bury your certificate, so you are presented as a kid. It's good for this side of the earth.
But it's the degree to which you sow the life and the power of God into your soul and to your body that determines the order of a resurrection and the glory you carry.
Our Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Make that your priority.
So Paul said, but all these things, you know, that were given to me, he said, I count them lost for Christ.
He said, they were done. Next verse, please.
Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
He was a lawyer.
And do count them but dung, that I may what?
Win Christ.
We must win Christ in Jesus' name. Next verse, what does it say? And be found in not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Next verse. Say, that I may know him, that should be our outcry this day, that I know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Next verse. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, while in this body. Next verse. I wish I could preach this thing on top of my voice. That I may know him and the power of resurrection. Said, not as though I already attained, either we are already perfect, but I say, follow after. If that I may apprehend that purpose for which I was also apprehended in Christ. You know what he's saying? Say, God apprehended you for a purpose, not just to succeed in your secular life, but to carry the glory of God. Next verse, brethren. I can't find myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What is those 13 years before? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word press means there is an opposition that you are pushing through. I press toward the mark of the price, that is a cutoff mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling is to be conformed to his image. The price is the glory. I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling. The high calling has a price. That when you run 100 meters, that they will give you a medal. So I press toward the mark of the price, which is the glory of God, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
We need to press toward that mark, brethren. Why? Because you see, he told the Philadelphian churches, behold, I've set an open door before you, which no man can shut.
So hold fast that which you have, lest no man take your crown. What crown is not a physical crown? Say, Lord, he said, Lord, God mighty. He said, thou hast crowned him with glory and with honor. That is the crown that no man must take. It's the crown of the glory of God when you see people begin to walk with that soak, the halo on their head. For you can imagine now, if you don't carry it, I will carry it in Jesus' name. You can imagine if you've been chopping to church for many years and you don't carry it, why would envy arise in your heart? But see, the secret is this. Let us practice the love of God to be rooted and guarded in love so that we can carry this glory as in Christ Jesus. I feel like this is where I stop today. Let's talk to the Lord. Says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The double glory of power and of wisdom, the ability of the mind of Christ. Said, to the intent that he might demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. That is our purpose. That is our destiny.
Would to God that the old church will know what is our purpose and our destiny.
You are not called to die and go to heaven.
That is a gift, not a reward. Why will God keep you alive if you have not made up your mind to carry the glory of God?
We will carry the glory of God in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's talk to the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. He says, what manner of love is this? What kind of love is this? That should be called the sons of God. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he said. Everyone that has his hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure, not less. Put it there. Verse 1, I'll read as we talk to the Lord. Behold, said, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knew us not, because it knew him not. Next verse. Next verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Next verse. And every man that has his hope in himself, purified himself, even as it is pure. The Bible says, the scripture just flashed in my heart. It says, in the great house there are many vessels. Vessels of gold, some vessels of silver, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use, prepared unto everyone. This responsibility is on us to purge ourselves. When you purge yourself, you become a vessel to carry the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this song. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days.
Please help me.
Held in your hand, grafted into your perfect plan.
Let's sing it. Let's start again. Beautiful Lord.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, rooted into your perfect plan. You gently call
just came to my heart, and I will just read them. I believe we are in that season of the manifestation of the glory of God, the season of cross lights that will dispel gross darkness. I read the scripture that came to my heart. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. You are the one that will deliver creation. Paul says that the book of John that I quoted, 1 John, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I said somebody yesterday about this coronavirus. I said, where is the God of John G. Lake? Where is the God of John G. Lake in the body of Christ? Dongidek is the guy that had, when they had the bubonic plague going on in South Africa. And the guy will go there and will be helping those that were working with those that were affected by this bubonic plague. And they asked him that, why, how come this is not affecting you and your brethren, the people under your coverings are not dying? He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. They said they should bring this something, they put in a petri dish. And then he said they should look at it under the microscope. They saw the germs, they were dancing all around. The man put his finger into it and they died immediately. Brethren, where is the God of John G. Lake? Let's the hidden to say, where is our God? But in that time and that season, let us pray. But say, Father, we confess our sins. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, we receive your life and your power in sufficient measure for this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel by the power of God, as I diligently use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God in my life. I also thank you for giving me afresh an understanding of my calling in Christ and the hope of my calling in Christ Jesus, which is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and to carry the double glory, the glory of power and the glory of wisdom. Therefore, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that I might destroy the works of the devil and also to demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. In Jesus' name, let's pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, thank you, Holy Spirit.